Welcome to CICK News, the only news source in the North truly dedicated to local stories on the ground. CICK News addresses the diverse needs of the underserved communities between Burns Lake and Haida Gwaii through firsthand stories and in-depth interviews. CICK News funding is made possible by the Community Radio Fund of Canada, the only organization mandated to financially support campus and community radio stations in Canada, as well as the Government of Canada. We are your hosts, Pam Hassan and Dan Messick, and we are on the dial at 93.9 FM, Smithers Community Radio. Our call letters are CICK, and we are broadcasting from the unceded Gitindam territory, home of the Wet'suwet'en Nation. Follow CICK News online at smithersradio.com or follow us on Facebook or Instagram at Smithers Community Radio.
Today on CICK News, on January 25th, Canfor announced a series of closures to its BC operations, closing a mill in Chetwynd permanently, as well as shutting down their mill in Houston for an extended period while they initiate a major redevelopment of that site. This is a major blow to the community of Houston, and although it came as a shock for most, it was not a surprise. The forestry industry in BC has had its fair share of ups and downs over the years, and this is yet another downturn. Although the mill in Houston will continue to operate until April, the future for more than 300 workers and their families based in Houston is more uncertain now than ever before. The dust is still settling following the announcement, and many questions still remain, including how long the mill will be closed for and how many jobs will return if and when it does reopen. To shed some light on the situation and gauge the mood of the small northern community that is soon to lose its biggest local employer by far, today we'll hear from MP Taylor Bacharach about his message to the federal government for help. As well, we'll speak to Houston Mayor Shane Briennan, who also works at the mill, about the impact the shutdown will have on his community and what comes next. Stay with us.
Taylor Bacharach, the MP for Skeena-Buckley Valley. I'm here on Parliament Hill in Ottawa.
Great, Taylor. Thanks so much for being with us today. Obviously, the news coming from Houston in the last couple of weeks here that the Canfor mill will be closing indefinitely for a time, a bit of a blow to the community. But this is a situation that's unfolding across the province. But maybe tell me a little bit about when you first heard about the closure and what went through your head about the families and the closure of the mill in Houston.
This is devastating news for the community. It's a story they've seen unfold before. Of course, they've lost a mill in the past, and it affects hundreds of people directly and hundreds more indirectly. So certainly something not to be taken lightly, and we need to see a concerted response. Following the news, I reached out both to the mayor of Houston and to the steel workers who represent the mill workers, and talked about how in my federal role I can support the community and support the families that are affected. What they've identified is the need for increased flexibility around the employment insurance process. And during the pandemic, the Liberal government made the EI process more flexible for people who needed to access benefits. And unfortunately, those temporary measures ended in September. And so the proposal that the steelworkers have made is for those temporary measures to be brought back in for the families who are affected by these mill closures. That's a message that I've conveyed to Minister Carla Qualtro here in Parliament, and certainly something that we're going to continue to push for.
You know, these closures, there's somewhere in the neighborhood of 200-300 families that will be affected just in Houston. Canfor being one, at one point, being one of the largest output mills in the world. So clearly times have changed. But what can you do and what can the federal government do to see about maybe changing the scenario here, the status quo and the boom and bust cycle that these communities are so familiar with?
There are a lot of questions that this announcement brings up, and we've known for a long time that there are structural challenges in our forest industry, some of which stem from the mountain pine beetle infestation, and others are found elsewhere in provincial policy and the history of how things have transpired. I think, you know, the future is going to require us to make some important policy changes and to create an industry that's sustainable and that provides good jobs for families in communities. And I think that's the message overwhelmingly that I'm hearing from people, is that they want a future they can count on, that their kids can count on. I wish I had all the answers in terms of what that means, but the situation we're in right now is that we have a huge amount of milling capacity along the Highway 16 corridor. We have a consolidation where a few huge corporations control most of the forest industry. And we have decisions that are made in faraway boardrooms that affect families and communities. I would like to see a much more community-centered approach, an approach that's rooted in the addition of value and better manufacturing. But those things are all, of course, very challenging in a global forest products market. The other thing we've been pushing on forward in Ottawa is on the softwood lumber agreement. Of course, unfair tariffs by the Americans hurt the forest industry, and the United States is one of our biggest export markets. So that's a policy area that falls in the federal realm that we continue to work on as well.
We've known for a long time now the challenges the forestry industry faces, yet it's still shocking to see these kinds of closures when they do happen. What's the message you and your colleagues are trying to send to the government about how to solidify the forestry industry in these communities like Houston to avoid these boom and bust cycles? Houston families need help immediately, and as you mentioned earlier, this just didn't happen overnight. It was a long time coming.
For sure. Part of this is an adjustment to the midterm timber supply and the impact of the mountain pine beetle, which we've known has been coming for a long time. I do note that the provincial government has committed something like $90 million to improving fiber utilization, investing in value-added manufacturing. That's going to be a part of the solution moving forward. But really, we need to create a policy framework whereby the jobs stay in communities. And this is, we've been hearing this push for a long time, you know, concerns about raw log exports, you know, concerns about the fact that we're seeing a decline in the number of jobs per cubic meter. And, you know, it's not an easy solution. It's going to take years in order to transition to a more resilient industry. But in the meantime, we need to have communities' backs. We need to see the federal government step in and say, we're going to have a transition plan. We're going to have a plan for the families who've been affected. And that's something I'm going to continue to push here in Ottawa.
Okay, Taylor, we'll leave it there for now. Thanks so much for your time and your insight on this.
For sure. Thanks, Dan.
That was the Member of Parliament for the riding of Skeena-Bulkley Valley, Taylor Bacharach. Coming up next, we'll hear from Houston Mayor Shane Briennan.
I'm Shane Briennan. I'm the mayor of the District of Houston.
Thanks so much, Mayor Briennan, for being with us today. Obviously, as I mentioned, the news coming out of Houston and the impending shutdown of the Canfor mill is pretty devastating news for your community. Maybe take me through a little bit about when you first heard the announcement and kind of what was going through your head.
Yeah, so we were told about 2 weeks ago today. I think it was a pretty big shock for our community. We have been going through a downturn and we have been taking a lot of curtailments, but I think overall the community was shocked.
I know that, you know, some commentators have been saying that this was a long time coming, that, you know, for those who were paying attention, the writing was on the wall for the last, you know, decade or more. Is that how you feel about this, how others in the community feel about this as well?
Yeah, I know. I think there was a feeling that we would see more mills go down, I think, because in Houston, because we lost one super mill in 2014, that we felt we were in good shape. Like, there's still a good fiber supply out there in the Maurice Timber supply area. So, yeah, we knew more mills would close. We certainly didn't think we'd be one. We've been a major forests in the province and forestry since that complex opened in 1969. And yeah, it's weathered a lot of downturns and a lot of storms, but this last one, it's been a little tougher.
I know that the Canfor mill there used to be one of the largest output sawmills in the world, never mind just here in North America. You know, as I understand it, you know, you also work at the mill. So what are you hearing from some of your colleagues, and, you know, will you be losing your job as well?
Yeah, I don't want to talk about myself, but yeah, I'm hearing a wide range of emotions and just sort of people trying to deal with it. But it also, there is still a lot of questions that aren't answered. So there is talk of a rebuild, but there's no... things are still unfolding there. We don't know exactly what this is going to look like. If there is a rebuild, the mill would not be up into operation until mid-2025. So that's a huge gap in a forestry-dependent community. And it's everyone's tied to those jobs in that complex. So you have, of course, you have your people working inside there, but then you have your logging side, and you have truck shops and suppliers, and it's a very big supply chain. And it ripples right through the whole region. It's not just a issue in Houston. Of course, we're the center of it, but there's also employees that work in other communities that are tied to it or work at the complex.
How many jobs are going to be lost in your community, Mayor?
I don't have an exact number, but I think we're looking at around 300.
Generally, that, you know, 300 jobs, that's about 300 families. So quite a large number of people in the community are employed by that mill. You know, what's the outlook? As you mentioned, there could be a rebuild in the future. But, you know, with mayor and council right now, what's the plan to kind of bridge that gap and hopefully attract, if not more business, but hold on to, as you mentioned, some of the indirect businesses that are currently operating in Houston?
Yeah, so it's a real struggle. I know it's just going to have to unfold one step at a time. There are jobs in the region, so hopefully people will stay. Maybe they take a camp job for a while or find something in that time in between. For the district itself, because we went through a similar situation in 2014, and of course the stakes are much higher this time, but when we lost a major mill, we started putting away money for a transition fund, and that's partly because there was not much help at all from the province, and we were just left on our own. So we tried to position ourselves that we'd be in better shape if we ever had the misfortune of being in that spot again, which we are right now. So on the district side for the municipality, we're pretty safe for the next 2 years as we adjust and work through it. For the workforce, there's a huge transition there, so we'll set up a number of supports and job fairs, maybe try and get young people into trades. The union and the company will look at bridging and pension for older people, so it's going to be a little bit of a different story for everybody as we go through it.
You know, that was one thing you had mentioned, you know, the province in 2014 wasn't really there. What kind of help are you hearing now or hoping for now from the provincial and federal governments? Have you had those conversations? Is there discussions going on to see about getting some financial help, of course, for the time being in the immediate future?
Yeah, we're just reaching out to everyone, and we've had some of the ministries contact us, but it's again, it's a difficult time because we have a number of mills going down at the same time, so the resources are spread out a little bit, and we'll have a much better picture towards the end of next week. But yeah, there's a lot of people trying to pull everything together and get the right people in the room and the right groups working on the right things here.
You know, one other thing I wanted to touch upon was obviously, you know, the forestry industry in BC is kind of the backbone of the economy in a lot of ways. It has a, you know, deep roots in the history of this province, especially here in the north. All these communities in one way or another are connected to the forestry industry. Have you heard from any of your counterparts in communities along the corridor here, the Highway 16 corridor, reaching out, offering help of any kind?
Yeah, we've talked a little bit. We're all pretty close-knit, and when something happens in one community, like I said, it definitely hits your neighbors in some way or another. So, yeah, we're working through things probably as a region. We'll probably share a few resources, but I think, like, each community has a lot on their plate just looking after themselves. And I think I'd have to double check, but I think the last time I saw like the mill in Houston there, the supply chain for that one was about $90 million a year. So that's like, these are devastating hits here. Like it may look like one mill, but the amount of people employed indirectly and the amount of businesses that make money off that mill, it's a huge impact, not just for the community, but for the region. And then of course there's the taxation and the Houston mills there since the 80s have been well over $1 billion in stumpage down to Victoria. So it'll be felt here. I think it'll be felt everywhere.
Yeah, obviously this is pretty tough news to take, never mind as a mayor of a community, but what gives you hope going forward, knowing that there is a tough road ahead?
Well, going forward, I guess there is work in the area. There is other resource activity. There's mining, there's some gas work. So there are jobs up here. It's frustrating in some ways. So just trying to get an answer of what the plan is as we're all working through it. So I think that there's, if we can get a date or a commitment to rebuild, that makes things easier. I think it's overall, it's frustrating. You know, a lot of the things we're talking about today or that are happening right now today, you know, these discussions, I remember back in 2005, first being on council and sitting on regional boards and talking about how the beetle was going to impact the industry and our communities, that it's often frustrating that we're not ready or diversified. And an example would be the federal government at one time promised $1 billion for investment around mitigating pine beetle. And I think they put out $100 million 1 year, and then we never saw any again. So it's just, there's a lot of money coming out of the area, and it would just be nice. You're probably well aware of the Resource Benefits Alliance. So that's a group from Vanderhoof out to Haida Gwaii. I think everyone's heard about them by now, but there's got to be a way or a mechanism for these communities to keep a little bit of that money generated up here back in into keeping our infrastructure in shape and diversifying a little bit. It's the money sure goes out easily, but it's every time we're in a little trouble, we're begging for just a little scrap there. And it, I just wish it wasn't that way.
No doubt. I definitely hear you. And I know that many in these communities probably feel the same way. Mayor Brianon, we'll leave it there for now, but I'm sure this won't be the last time that we speak on this. And we wish you good luck in the road ahead.
Yeah, thank you.
You've been listening to CICK News. If you have any hot tips or news stories you think we should cover, contact us at CICKnews@smithersradio.com or follow us on Facebook at CICK News. CICK News is made possible by the Government of Canada and the Community Radio Fund of Canada, the only organization mandated to financially supporting campus and community radio stations across Canada. You can also catch our fresh shows each week at theskeena.com or subscribe to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you find your podcasts. Thanks to our producer, Pam Hassan, and all of our roving reporters, I'm Dan Messick. Thanks for listening.